It's good to be together. And again, Happy New Year, 2014. How many of you remember Y2K? Few of you. How many of you that remember that stockpiled water, MREs, meals ready to eat for those of you that aren't military, or freeze-dried food, Gilead's got his hand up, batteries, lights, etc. How many of you stored those things for Y2K? There's only a couple of honest people in the room. All right, good. For those of you that may be too young to know what Y2K was, it was the year 2000. And there are many people that believed at midnight on New Year's Eve 1999 that the world was going to come to a standstill because you were now changing the millennium from 19 to 2. So replacing the one to a two, and they thought, oh no, this is going to do everything from lock up computers to shut down computers to shut down cars because of the electronics in cars, and many other issues that would bring the world to a standstill, all because they thought everything would choke on trying to put that two in the thousands place in place of the one. Well, as you can see, it didn't happen. The world's still spinning, and we're still here. And to those two that raised their hand, you might go ahead, if you haven't already, and use the things that you've stockpiled. And if you haven't used them, you could probably put them on Craigslist and sell them to somebody else to store. Anyway, to think that we've come 14 years from Y2K, you got to stop and go, where has the time gone? It's just, wow, to think 2014. I remember when 2001 came and people thought, wow, I didn't think we'd ever see 2001. And now we're in 2014. Just goes to prove that God's word is true. In James, where it says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. It's like taking that top off a boiling pot of water and that steam rises up and in seconds it's gone. That's your life. That's my life. And that's not necessarily my message, although that might be a good message. But what I want to speak to you this morning about is a renewed commitment in 2014. If you would, take your Bibles and stand once again for the reading of God's Word. And as you stand, if you go ahead and open to Ephesians chapter 4. This is where we will begin and remain most of the time. And I was thinking there's no way I'm going to preach till noon. I was thinking it's going to be an early day, early afternoon. You guys might be at the head of the line at the restaurants, but it's now 2 minutes to 12 and I don't have a clock up here. Somebody was nice enough to leave me this pretty Disneyland iPhone. Is this yours? Okay. Anyway, and I'm not looking at the clock, so I'm going to preach everything that God's given me, and you stick with me, and we'll get done. And hopefully, it will be a blessing. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and specifically, he's writing to the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. And he's writing with the purpose of reminding them of the new life that they have in Christ, with the hope of encouraging them to be rooted and grounded. It's kind of funny that Pastor mentioned that in his short sermon this morning. Rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, and that they be not moved from their first love, which was and is Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. The Bible says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the bitterness of their heart. Catch that. Because of the bitterness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye, therefore, followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ loves you. He gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice for you. He who knew no sin became sin for us. May we, in the year 2014, with God's help, walk in love of Christ, keeping him first in all that we do. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I thank you for this opportunity to open your word. God, this humbling privilege to open your word and to proclaim it to your people. God, I pray that you would give me clarity of thought and speech and help me to communicate exactly what you would have said. And God, I pray that you would be pleased in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. May God help us to love Christ and to keep him first in all that we do. Have you ever loved someone so much you were devoted to them? You were inspired by them? You wanted to please them regardless of the sacrifice or sacrifices that you had to make? Only to have that relationship wane or become stagnant due to distractions, temptations, busyness, or just time? Well, I'm certain almost all of us at some point in our life have experienced that. We could probably think right now in our mind's eye of relationships that were once strong and they have grown cold. They've waned from what they once were. And whether it was because of distractions going here and going there, or temptations from the world, or just busyness in general, or whether it was just time, there's no need for it to remain that way in your earthly relationships. But the relationship that is of most concern for all of us is a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto God, no man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Jesus was very specific, and he was very narrow-minded. There's one way. He is that way. And that we would realize that, and that we, if we have that relationship, would commit to strengthen that relationship. If we don't know Christ, that we would place our faith and trust in him. This being the first Sunday of 2014, I want to encourage all of the saints, born-again believers, to renew their commitment to the Lord, to serve the Lord, and to keep him first, to keep him preeminent in your life. Many people around the world at this time, maybe a week ago or so, have made or will make New Year's resolutions. Some of them will make a New Year's resolution to lose weight, to lower their blood pressure, maybe be a little less stressed, to work out 5 times a week, to pay off some debt, to finish some undone project, or some other self-fulfilling accomplishment. But as Christians, we need to remember God has a perfect plan and a purpose for each of our lives if we will seek to know His will. Having a renewed commitment in life is not a bad thing when it's in line with God's will. God's Word gives us several areas where we can, as Christians, renew our life. And this morning we're just going to look at a few. The first one is a renewed commitment in your mind. Ephesians 4 and verse 17 says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." God says to put off the old man. We're to put off the old man. We're to take that old flesh that we had prior to our conversion, prior to our being born again, and we're to put it off. It's corrupt. It does no good. There is no good in man save Jesus Christ and his righteousness. There's none good, no, not one. And that we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind and to put on the new man, which is after God, which is pure and holy. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Why? "That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You want to know the will of God? Get in His Word. Read His Word and ask God to show you His will for your life. The best way to renew your mind? Read it. Study it. Meditate upon it. That you would have the mind of Christ in all that you do. Renew your mind. The second area for a renewed commitment in 2004 is a renewed commitment in your spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not." This is a whole change from the old man. This is the new man who speaks truth, who can be angry and sin not. You think about the old man. The old man gets angry and what happens? We want to hurt somebody. I know. I've been there a time or two. 1,000. It's the truth. The old man is corrupt. And God wants us to put on the new man. And in that, we can speak truth with our neighbor. In that, we can be angry and sin not. Because if we're yielded to the Spirit's controlling us, the reality is we still get angry. It's whether or not we sin in that anger that really makes a difference. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Think about that old man. He gets angry. He wants to act on it. It's nothing for the old man to go to bed and get a night's sleep, knowing that in the morning he's going to wake up full of anger, looking to take wrath on whoever or whatever it is that made him angry. We see that all around us in our world today, do we not? You watch the news, it's not real encouraging. It's not real edifying. It just goes, again, to prove that God's word's true, where it says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, being deceived and deceiving. Deceiving and being deceived. It's true. We live in a dark world, and there's a lot of evil that takes place. And if we're putting on the new man, we don't need to have any place with that. We don't need to go to bed with the wrath. We need to give it to the Lord. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let him that stole steal no more. You may not go in the store and steal, but you may try to manipulate people, situations, and opportunities for your own greedy gain. Steal no more. Work. Labor. If a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. It's a biblical principle and it's true. And we shouldn't enable people to get around that. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And a lot of people want to think that that's just swear words. That's just cussing. That's words that tear down. That's words that hurt. Follow that verse and it says, but with your mouth, speak that which is good to the use of edifying, for building people up. For building people up. You look at Jesus, who is our prime example. I always want to look to Christ. Don't look to me. Don't look to Pastor. We will ultimately fail you. Don't look to John, unless he's holding an iPhone. We will fail you. We are but flesh. We are but men. It's not an excuse. It's reality. Look unto Christ. A lot of people want to say that filthy communication is just the bad words, the dirty words. It's those things that tear people down. How many of you have ever done that? I have. Yeah, we're quick with the tongue to hurt. And God says in the new man, you shouldn't do that. That you should use words that edify, that build people up. Why? That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Whose grace? God's grace. That it would minister grace unto the hearers, that they would be encouraged and built up. You think about that wherever you work, wherever you live, and people are in distress around you, or doing wrong, or frustrated, and you speak kind words. The Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife. You ever been in that situation where somebody's come to you and they're hot? They're heated. They want to take some revenge. And you speak kind, soft, nice words, and all of a sudden their countenance changes? Yeah, God's word's true, again. I think I'm getting the point. That is the way God wants us to be in the new man. In our mind, as we commit to renew our mind, as we commit to renew our spirit, that we would be controlled by the Spirit. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. How can we grieve the Holy Spirit? By not listening. By not heeding. By not obeying. By not following the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. That's how we can grieve the Holy Spirit, ignoring his prompting and dismissing his leading. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And to God I say, thank you, Lord. I'm sealed. Like that Coke bottle that you used to buy when they were in glass. Now they're producing them again in glass. But you used to have the redemption thing on there, and you could take it back and get your redemption. It was redeemable, sealed, under the day of redemption. The Coke bottle wasn't sealed because I drank it. And I'm a Coke fan. Pastor's a Pepsi fan, but that's all right. We'll pray for him. I used to work for Pepsi, but that's not why we get along so well. Verse 31. Naomi's saying, did he really? Yes, he did. Yes, I was a stalker. I'd go in the stores and stock shelves with Pepsi products. And I'd walk out with Coke. I grew up in Atlanta, what can I say? The heart of Coca-Cola. We need to put away all resentment toward others. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What's he forgiven you of? Everything. Why? Because of Jesus. Because he loves you. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. In Psalm 51... after Nathan is confronted, or after Nathan, the prophet, confronts David about his adultery with Bathsheba, David cries unto God and says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David, he begged God for a renewed spirit, for a right heart. He needed it. And maybe today you need it. Great way to renew your spirit? Spend time alone with the God who loves you. That you would be filled and desire to walk in his spirit. So, a commitment, a renewed commitment in your mind, renewed commitment in your spirit, and thirdly, a renewed commitment in your faith. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. I think of my own kids, and to my shame, I often see them following me in the things that I don't want them following me in. Whether that's my anger, or my attitude, or my tongue, and it's just a reminder. As I read this verse and as I've studied this, that God wants me to follow him and to be like him as he is holy, as he is full of mercy, as he is perfect, complete, as he is love, as he bestows grace abundantly. How many of us run out of grace every day? Yeah. And God is forgiving. How are you? How am I with forgiving? And trusting in his direction and leading for our lives. I think of my kids, and as they get older, obviously, it's harder for them to trust me because they've seen me for years. As I've got, from 8 months to 17, the 8-month-old really doesn't count in this illustration because she's going to do whatever she's told because she's carried pretty much everywhere she goes. But you take Sophia, the 3-year-old, and if I tell her to follow me, She is going to follow me. And that's the same thing God wants for us, is that childlike faith to follow him where he leads, to trust him. I think of being in the pool and being in the pool, my feet on the ground and the kids standing on the side, whether it's 3 years old or 4 years old. And I don't know that I ever had one 2 years old maybe jump, maybe. Noah's pretty much a water bug. He might have jumped too. And say, jump. And what do? They jump. I will catch you. What are you building there? Trust. And God says, trust me. And you say, jump, and I'll catch you. And if they jump, you better catch them. Not for the sake of they may drown, because you're right there. The reality is they're probably not going to drown. But the reason you need to catch them is to help them realize they can trust you. And more than they can trust you is they can trust God. And that as they trust you and you have that opportunity to share with them as they grow in years, the love of God, that they will realize they can trust him because you trust him. Renewed commitment in your faith. Romans 1 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith, step to step. You get them jumping at the edge of the pool and trusting you. They get a little older and all of a sudden it's time for bikes. And I'm using, you know, obviously physical things. They're going to trust you when you let go of the seat. And they're riding, unbeknownst to them, without the training wheels. Until they look back and they go, woo-hoo-hoo. And they, like Peter, start to sink. Because Peter trusted God until he realized the storms and the waters around him were raging. And then he started to do what? Doubt. Trust himself. And it didn't work. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What is it that God's wanting you to do? What's that next step that God's prompting you to take? Wanting to grow you in your faith. From faith to faith. I can think of the first step I took in faith was trusting God. Trusting Christ. And one of the second steps of faith after that was trusting in baptism. Not that it saves me, but that it was something that Christ wanted me to do. Even though it was public, and it was kind of, not necessarily embarrassing, but maybe a little bit scary for some. Or is it that next step? God wants you to serve in some capacity. For me, it was helping with the youth group, which I'm not a big fan of. But anyway, it was one of those things to where there was steps of growth. Just as we see our children grow and they take steps in their growth, God expects us to grow in our faith. And that only happens when we trust him and we take those steps that he's leading us to take. A couple ways to renew your commitment in your faith is to obey God. Obey God and serve him. Have that mustard seed of faith. God says that if you have the faith as of a grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds, a mustard seed. If you have faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be cast yonder to hence place, and it'll be done. If you have faith as of a mustard seed, he can move mountains out of your way. So we see a renewed commitment in our mind, a renewed commitment in our spirit, renewed commitment in our faith. And finally, the last one we'll look at this morning is a renewed commitment in our walk. Ephesians 5:2 says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." God wants you and I to walk in love. Christ loved you and me. He laid down his life for us. That alone should compel us to live for him and to give our life for him, to bring him glory, to lift him up that all men may see him. That you would have a walk in love, having a conversation, a manner of lifestyle that exalts and exemplifies Christ, to shine as a light in the dark, to help the hurting, to bring health to the sick and direction to the lost, that people would see Jesus in you and know that something's different. Titus 3 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." That is a blessed hope. We're not living for this world. We're not living for this life. This life is but a vapor. We're living, hopefully, in light of eternity. Titus further says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." Why? "These things are good and profitable unto men." What are you doing for the Lord? You're rooting for the Seahawks? Really, what are you doing for the Lord? Many people will get, you know, all fanaticized about a sports team. I have my college favorite. I won't say who it is. But we will oftentimes, we'll let that consume us. Or other interests. And I can name a litany of them, and I won't. And we forget that God has a work for us to do. "That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." An effective way to renew your walk in 2014 is to maintain good works. Get involved. Not that it just came to mind, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. Even cleaning the church is a good work. And it's not something that is out front. It's behind the scenes. And I'll just give you an admonition here as part of the staff. We have children. They have parents. They make a mess. You clean it up. Or they clean it up. There's really no reason that we as a church should have somebody, and I won't say who, that comes in here Monday or Tuesday and takes an hour and a half to pick up the sanctuary. You wouldn't let your kids in your house tear little pieces of paper, throw them on the ground. Take a wrapper from candy, leave it behind. Take a bulletin and make a real sharp, high-speed, low-drag airplane and leave it somewhere. And yet somebody has to come behind and pick those up. You wouldn't let them do that in your house. Why would you let them do that in the house of God? Pick up after yourselves. And if you don't want to have to pick up after your kids, teach them to pick up after themselves. And then you won't have to. The other one is the left and found room. I mean, lost and found. It's not really lost because it's sitting right where you left it, in the seat next to you. And you just happen to leave it behind. So we like to name that the left and found. Where's Philemon? He, I think, coined that phrase. The left and found. Pick up your stuff. Take it with you. We don't need to store it. If you want somebody to store stuff for long term, see Gilead or Nathan Sherman. They have all kinds of Y2K stuff still. Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to give you up there. Hopefully only one wheel of the bus hit you. Maintain good works. And that can be in a number of ways. Why? Because it's good and profitable unto men. A walk with the right priority. A sincere love for Jesus will give you a sincere love for others. May you love Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, just as you love God. Finally, as we've looked at the church of Ephesus here for a few minutes, turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. I think somebody's trying to call me on this phone, but I'm not going to answer it. Might be the Disney guy. What's his name? Michael Eisner. Revelation chapter 2. And look here at who God's talking to. Out of the seven churches. The first one, the church of Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, the pastor. Write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. God says, you've done a lot. You've stood firm where you needed to. But verse 4, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Church of Ephesus, their first love was Jesus. And God, through his Spirit, is reminding them of that and telling them that they've moved from that. And he's giving them direction to repent and do the first works, which are put Jesus first. Make him preeminent. You can see here with the contrast from Ephesians chapter 4 and this portion of Scripture in Revelation 2 that it's possible for your relationship to wane. It's possible for it to become stagnant due to distractions of the world, temptations of the devil, busyness of the flesh, or just to take him for granted over time. If this has happened to you in your relationship with Christ, won't you hear what God's Spirit is saying and repent and do the first works? Live for Jesus. Jesus was in the world, but he was not of the world. He did not avoid contact with people. He didn't isolate himself from those that needed him. And he didn't avoid those that were considered needy. It's well known that he was accessible, readily accessible, and often spoke directly to those that were shunned by society, and sometimes even by his disciples. He spoke with publicans. You think of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see Jesus, and Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, I'm going to your house today." And Zacchaeus was not a favored man. He was a tax collector. He spoke with Samaritans, who the Jews considered to be dogs, unclean, the woman at the well, and other sinners, the woman caught in adultery. He spoke with the undesirable types, those that others considered unclean. "Well, don't talk to them. No, don't. Avoid them. No, I'm not going to talk to that person. They're not dressed right. They don't look right. They're not clean. They smell." Whatever excuse we can make. But Jesus, our prime example, was committed to do his Father's will, to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is our greatest example of how we are to live in this world. In closing, may you determine, starting today, the fifth day of January in 2014, to have a renewed commitment in your Christian life, to have a renewed mind, a renewed spirit, a renewed faith, and a renewed walk through study of the Word, through time in prayer, through service to the Lord, and through doing good works, which are profitable unto men. No matter what you did in 2013, your failures, your successes, your trials, your triumphs, don't hold on to those. They're last year. Let go of those things which are behind and press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, complete, and we're complete only in Christ, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If you're here, you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, it's not too late. You're still breathing the air God's given you. God loves you, and he wants you to know him through a relationship with his Son. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless and perfect life, was crucified on an old rugged cross for your sins and for mine, buried, and then gloriously resurrected, rose again 3 days later. And as we see, all of history is based on Jesus' coming. The Old Testament looks forward to his coming. The New Testament looks back at his birth. And we, as New Testament Christians, look forward to his return. He is coming again. We recently celebrated the birth of Christ, Christmas. And a lot of people celebrate it with all the pomp and circumstance because it's a materialistic society type of event. And some celebrate it as it's the birth of Christ. He truly is the reason for the season. And we can look at our calendar now and see the year 2014. And that 2014 is based on the birth of Christ. 2014 years ago. We don't know when he's coming again. Personally, I don't think it's long. He could come today. That would be fine with me. I pray if you don't know Jesus, that you will ask someone before you leave here today how you can know him, and that you'll place your faith and trust in his finished work on the cross. It's not by works that we are saved. It's by the grace of God through Jesus, and that you would commit your life to him and live for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for the truth that we find in your word. God, I thank you that even as Pastor mentioned as he was talking earlier, that you are a God of new beginnings. God, that you stand ready to renew us if we will but ask. God, I pray for each born-again believer here that, God, they would look at their lives and that they would take inventory and evaluate their life to see if Jesus truly is preeminent, if Jesus is first in all that they do, and that they live with the mind of Christ. And God, if it's not, I pray that they would repent and that they would do the first works, that they would put Jesus first. God, I pray for those that are here that may not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. God, I pray that you would show them their need for Christ and that they would humble themselves, that they would stow their pride, and that they would ask someone, what must I do to be saved? And God, I just pray that you would be glorified in and through all of our lives. And I ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.